What's up, guys? Welcome back to The Entertainer, your all-around spot for all things entertainment. In honor of National Women's History Month, we will be covering women in national history. Author, lecturer, abolitionist, human rights activist, and chief philosopher of the women's rights and suffrage movements, Elizabeth Cady Stanton was one of the first leaders of the women's rights movement. She came from a privileged background and decided early in life to fight for equal rights for women. Stanton worked closely with Susan B. Anthony. Elizabeth was born in Johnstown, New York, on November 12, 1815, to Daniel Cady and Margaret Livingston. The Cady were Johnstown's most prominent citizens. Elizabeth's father was a prominent attorney, a congressman, and a judge who exposed his daughter to the study of law and other so-called male domains early in her life. This experience inspired Elizabeth to change laws unjust to women. She received her formal education at the Johnstown Academy and Emma Willard's Troy Female Seminary in New York. When Elizabeth graduated from Johnstown Academy at age 16, women couldn't enroll in college, so she proceeded to Troy Female Seminary instead. In 1839, Elizabeth stayed in Peterborough, New York with her cousin Gerrit Smith. While there, she met Henry Brewster Stanton, a journalist and abolitionist volunteering for the American Anti-Slavery Society. Elizabeth married Henry in 1840. She, too, became active in the anti-slavery movement and worked alongside leading abolitionists of the day, including Sarah and Angelina Grimke and William Lloyd Garrison. The couple honeymooned in London and attended the World Anti-Slavery Delegation as representatives of the American Anti-Slavery Society. However, the convention refused to recognize Stanton or other women delegates. While on her honeymoon, Stanton met abolitionist Lucretia Mott, who, like her, was also angry about the exclusion of women at the proceedings. Mott and Stanton vowed to call a women's rights convention when they returned home. Upon returning home, Henry studied law with Elizabeth's father and became an attorney. The couple lived in Boston, Massachusetts for a few years where Elizabeth heard the insights of prominent abolitionists. By 1848, they had three sons and moved to Seneca Falls, New York. In the same year, Stanton and Mott held the first women's rights convention in Seneca Falls. Stanton had six children between 1842 and 1859, and had seven children total: Harriet Stanton Black, Daniel Cady Stanton, Robert Livingston Stanton, Theodore Stanton, Henry Brewster Stanton Jr., Margaret Livingston Stanton Lawrence, and Gerrit Smith Stanton. During this time, she remained active in the fight for women's rights, though the busyness of motherhood often limited her to behind-the-scenes activities. Stanton helped write the Declaration of Sentiments, a document modeled after the Declaration of Independence that laid out what the rights of American women should be, and compared the women's rights struggle to the Founding Fathers' fight for independence from Britain. The Declaration of Sentiments offered examples of how men oppressed women. This pivotal document called for social and legal changes to elevate women's place in society. 68 women and 32 men signed the document, including prominent abolitionist Frederick Douglass, but many withdrew their support later when it came under public scrutiny. That same year, Stanton circulated petitions throughout New York to urge the New York Congress to pass the New York Married Women's Property Act. In 1851, she met Susan B. Anthony. Their intellectual and organizational partnership dominated the women's movement for over half a century. When Stanton was unable to travel due to the demands of raising her seven children, she would author speeches for Anthony to deliver. Stanton's 1854 address to the legislature of New York helped secure reforms passed in 1860, which allowed women to gain joint custody of their children after divorce, own property, and participate in business transactions. In 1862, the Stantons moved to Brooklyn and later to New York. When the Civil War broke out, Stanton and Anthony formed the Women's Loyal National League to encourage Congress to pass the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery. In 1866, they debated against the 14th Amendment and the 15th Amendment, giving black men the right to vote, because the amendments didn't give the right to vote to women. Many of their abolitionist friends disagreed with their position, however, and felt that suffrage rights for black men were top priority. A rift soon developed within the suffrage movement. Stanton and Anthony felt deceived and established the National Women's Suffrage Association in 1869, which focused on women's suffrage efforts at the national level. A few months later, some of their former abolitionist peers created the American Woman Suffrage Association, which focused on women's suffrage at the state level. The two major women's suffrage groups reunited in 1890 as the National American Women's Suffrage Association. By 1896, four states had secured women's suffrage. In the early 1880s, Stanton co-authored the first three volumes of The History of Women's Suffrage with Matilda Jocelyn Gage and Susan B. Anthony. In these comprehensive works, published several decades before women won the right to vote, the authors documented the individual and local activism that built and sustained a movement for women's suffrage, along with numerous articles on the subject of women and religion. She also wrote an autobiography, 80 Years and More, about the great events and work of her life. Stanton died on October 26, 1902, from heart failure. She wanted her brain to be donated to science upon her death to debunk the claims that the mass of men's brains made them smarter than women. Her children, however, didn't carry out her wish. Almost two decades after her death, Stanton's vision finally came true with the passing of the 19th Amendment on August 18, 1920, which guaranteed American women the right to vote. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of National Women's History Month, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.